Booklovers, welcome to a new episode of the Hey Booklovers podcast. Kati, it's so good to see you today.
Good to see you too, Tina. I'm happy to be here and to recording a new episode. And today something special.
Yes, we don't only have a new intro, we have new music and a new intro, but there is also something else that is new, at least for this episode.
Yes, for this episode, we are recording in English. And there's a special background story to that. Tina is an English coach. I don't know if you already know, she has studied at the University English, and she has a PhD. Is it called a PhD?
Yes, a PhD.
In English, and she gives English coachings, and I'm with her in a Brush Up Your English group for, I think, about a year now.
Yes, I think we started about a year ago.
Yes, and I wanted to do that because I read a lot in English, and I watch films and movies. TV series in English, but I never get the chance to talk. And Tina offers this in a special group. And as follow up, I asked her if you could do a recording in English for friends and family who also like to read.
Which means that the next episode of the Hey Booklovers podcast will be in German again. Let's see. This is an experiment, and I like to try new things and experiment. So, first question for you, Kati. What is making you happy right now?
We just had our Easter holidays and went to Austria to our lake house and stayed there for a few days, and it was so good, you know, down to earth and so far away from normal reality. It felt like almost being in another universe, and it always gives me so much uplifting spirits and energy. And school has started yesterday, so I'm still feeling it, and I hope it will last a little longer and until we can go there the next time. What is on your plate that makes you happy?
It is actually something on my plate because it's something to eat.
Very good.
It's steel cut oats. Have you ever had steel cut oats?
No, what's that? Explain to me.
There's also a backstory to this. So I went to Rammstein over the Easter break to visit friends, so to the Air Force Base in Rammstein, and I was able to go to an American grocery store, and I've never seen steel cut oats here in a German grocery store. So steel cut oats, or oats, Haferflocken. And steel-cut oats are very chewy and very hard before you boil them. And then you boil them and mix them with butter and milk. And I put apples in there, and I cooked them for 30 minutes this morning. And I added some maple syrup and some cinnamon and fresh bananas and a spoonful of yogurt. And it was delicious. It was really good. And so if anyone knows where to get steel cut oats in a German grocery store, please let me know. Otherwise, I will just have them shipped to my house from now on, maybe every 2 months, because I love them so much.
Do they taste differently from what we have here?
No, it's the texture that's different. Yeah, okay. It's not so much the taste, because it's oats, but it's the texture. It's grainy, it's chewy, it's and then of course it depends on what you add to it. And I think I like oats, I do, but I don't make them very often. But those steel cut oats, is of course, they bring back memories. I made them very often when we lived in the US, and so that made me really happy this morning, and I'm already looking forward to make them again tomorrow morning.
Oh, very good. I like porridge a lot, and maybe that's something I have to add to my list when we go to the USA in the summer to buy steel cut oats. I never thought that would land there, but yeah, okay. We'll see.
We'll see. Okay, and now let's turn to the books. And I'm very curious. You haven't told me anything about the books you are recommending today. And I haven't told you anything either. The only thing I told you is that today I'm mainly talking about nonfiction books because I couldn't really get into a fictional novel in the past couple of weeks. So it's all nonfiction for me. So what has it been like for you? What have you read recently?
Okay, so I start. The first book is not only a book. I think I've read about 6 books from the Bridgerton series.
Really?
So I tricked you. You know, I think everybody has heard about the TV show on Netflix, and I'm a really big Shonda Rhimes fan. She produced this with Shondaland. I'm a fan of Grey's Anatomy, from the first hour, and nearly all of her TV series she's produced. And I really think Bridgerton is extraordinarily done. And normally I would never read a book after having seen the TV series. It's always the other way around. But the second season just started, and after having watched it, I thought, oh, maybe I need to try the books. And then our friend Nadia said she started to read them and recommended it to me. So I thought I'll give it a try. And I must say, Shonda Rhimes decided to give the books a more colorful version because not all the people are white as they might be in the books. The people are of all colors in the series, but I'll come back to that later. So the books are the Bridgerton books by Julia Quinn. There is a family called the Bridgertons. They live in London, I think around 1820, and they're quite wealthy family, upper class. And there's the mother with her 8 children, and every book is about one of the children. So it starts with the oldest. It doesn't start with the oldest. I think it starts with a daughter, with the oldest daughter finding a husband on the marriage mart in London. And the second book is about then the firstborn son. And so it goes on. And it's always about ambitious mamas, rakes, young ladies trying to find love and the right fit. And with having seen the TV series before I read it, you have all these colorful people in mind, and don't read it as a white person seeing white people mostly, but it's mixed, and it's really it really made it better. I think the series made the book better. The dialogues are very witty. It's very funny and on point. And there's some sort of small feminism in it, I think, that you can see how these young ladies, their opportunities are not very big because they don't have the possibilities as the male, their male opponents, but they still have small, like the way they choose their dresses, how they communicate, how they choose to meet with the men, are in some detail about feminism and how at that time the women had a little bit of influence how they want to live their life. And it's just, if you want to read a book that's really uplifting, funny, with love and a little bit of, yeah, it's not only romance. How do you call it? It's not really about sex, but about Anziehungskraft.
Attraction.
Attractiveness. A lot about attractiveness, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just a very good read. Mm-hmm. And I can recommend, there's also a podcast by Shonda Lan. I'm very nerdy today, but where you can listen in and you find a lot about out about the locations they went to find the right fit in the UK, and to give the series this special sparkle. And it's quite funny and interesting how much there is to think about, and how the books by Julia Quinn inspired them to do such a big series.
Mm-hmm. So I'm now curious about the podcast.
Yeah, it's really good.
I might check that one out first.
And you learn a lot about TV production on the podcast, I think, because they take you how many steps are necessary before you can even start about shooting or casting or whatever. So I recommend the books with the series. Go for it. Have a good time.
Mm-hmm. So okay. Very good.
What's the first book you want to talk to me about?
Well, the first book that I would like to recommend is called Built It. I'll show it to you. Built It, the Rebel Playbook for World-Class Employee Engagement.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So why am I reading this? Do I have any employees? No. Don't.
But you have got clients with employees.
Exactly. I have clients who are employees or who have employees. I work a lot with people working in HR. And so I'm reading this book with one of my English coaching groups. And I like to do that, especially with a group, to choose a book and then read it together, not during the session, but mostly they read one or two chapters at home, and then we talk about it, and they apply it to their daily life, their work life, and that's always a lot of fun. And Built It is written by Glenn Elliott and Deborah Corey. And yeah, as the title says, it's about employee engagement. What I really like about it is that it has a lot of examples. So at the beginning, they introduce basically the building blocks or the areas of in a business context that influence the engagement of employees. For example, it's leadership, it's communication, it's recognition, it's pay and benefits. So they have this model, and then you have all these chapters on each of these topics. And at the moment, we are reading the leadership chapter in our group, and it's always one part theory. So what is good leadership? What has research shown about leadership? And then the book gives really good examples from the real world. So how do actual companies, mostly in the US and the UK, how do they... how creative do they get in these different areas? And it's very... I would say it's a lot of food for thought for German minds, because you can do things differently. And I can tell when I talk to my clients about these topics that sometimes they look at me like very bewildered. It's like, you cannot do that. For example, you cannot have an ice cream truck in the parking lot once a week from a local ice cream shop. Why would you do that? And that's more for kids. Why would you do that for your employees? And this is one example from the book, but it's, yeah, maybe it's not the ice cream truck. Maybe it's something different, but it gives lots of ideas, and it stretches your mind, and I really enjoy it, and it's a very easy read. So it's really good for non-native speakers, and the examples from the real world make it very colorful, and I really enjoy it, and I can highly recommend it to anyone who has employees, who is an employee, and also who is working in HR, because it's like I said, it's gives you new ideas, and you might want to approach different topics differently. Because I mean, what this book, of course, is about is that when you have more engaged employees, you are more successful in the business. So you basically make more money. And this is backed up by research. Otherwise, why would someone want to read this book? But that's basically the main goal of this book. And I really like it.
Oh, that sounds so good. I think that German employers should, I think they can take a lot more creativity, because it's all, so serious, everything. Mm-hmm. Nobody is open to go out there and to do something new, especially in the big companies. So,
And I think what this, and I mean, it's called playbook. So they don't call the examples or case studies, but they call them plays. And this is what this book is also about. Just give it a try, play with it. And if it doesn't work, if no one likes the ice cream truck, then you don't have to hire them anymore. They don't have to come every Tuesday anymore. Then you try something else, but at least you've tried, and maybe you get some feedback and you get a better idea. But play with it, be more creative with it. And hopefully just reading this book might change something. And the company that, or the group of people from the company that I'm reading this book with, it's their bosses, of course. They are not part of our English coaching sessions, but they want to give the book as a present to their two bosses. And that's their plan. After we are finished reading the book, they want to give the book to them and discuss the topics, and hopefully start a conversation on the topic of employee engagement.
Oh, that's such a good idea. I have to give this book to my husband, because he works in a really big company and they just moved to a new office space, and the old office space was very, very old, and there were not many fun facilities, or you didn't have the chance to move to a different environment to do a meeting sitting down in a lounge, or walking around, or standing at desk, or whatever. It was always, everybody had his designated workplace to go to and stay there. And the new office space, it offers a lot more possibilities, and there's always a food truck coming for lunch. And I think they're just opening up for a lot of new ideas. I have to give it to him. Perhaps he can try something new with the team.
Mm-hmm. And it's also, the chapters are not too long, and you don't have to read the book from front to back. So you can read the introductory chapter so that you know what it's all about, and then you can choose the topics that you are most interested in and that maybe your company needs at the moment. And that's what I really like about it.
Yeah, sounds very good.
Might be a good recommendation for your husband then. Okay, so what's your next book then?
We are jumping back to London in the year 1925, and we are meeting Agatha Christie. We might all know her from the novels. It's an historical fiction. The book is called The Christie Affair, and it's by Nia de Gramont. I don't know if she's really French or if it should be pronounced in English. And Yeah, you meet Agatha Christie, or she lives with her husband in a townhouse. Her husband is Archie. You know, they're going to play tennis at the weekend. They meet their friends. It's very settled. They have a kid. And you start reading and find out that Archie has an affair going on for a few months already, or I think nearly a year, with a lady, Nan O'Dea. And they're so close already that, you find out that they are going to tell Agatha, and he wants to leave Agatha and his child and to marry his affair. And Nan O'Dea is very, you have the feeling that she already worked for this moment for months to come. And as Archie then finally tells Agatha, she is really devastated and lost, but she's a strong woman. She's already writing her own books and has her own income, and she just leaves her husband and her child and disappears for 11 days. She's gone. Mm-hmm. And that's how the book starts. And Archie tells Nan that she has to stay in the background now, because nobody should have the feeling Agatha just ran away because he has an affair and it would be a scandal. He's a lawyer in town. And so she says she's going to leave for some awareness week somewhere on the countryside, and he can deal with all everything he has to deal with, and he has to try and find Agatha. He's a bit worried that she might have done something to herself, but she's such a strong woman, he can't imagine really, but you never know. Then they find her car abandoned next to the road, and so everything is very mysterious. And then the book suddenly flips over to Nan being his affair. She's also in this wellness hotel on the countryside. And a second story evolves. And you find out that Nan has a history with the love of her life that she met in Ireland. And that somehow this affair with Archie has been planned for years, and there's a special reason that she has to get close to this family to fulfill her purpose. I can't say any more, but it's a page turner, and it's fiction, so it's not a real story about a real character. But it's good. I couldn't, I think I've read it in 24 hours or something.
Really?
So, if you want to go dive in London 1925 and meet the Christies, then go for it.
Okay, sounds very interesting, very mysterious. I want to know more. I also want to know if Agatha and Nan, if they meet in this wellness hotel in the countryside.
Yeah.
That's the question that I'm asking myself now. So I will find out.
You have to read to find out. So what else do you have for me?
What else do I have? Another book in English. It's called The Read Aloud Handbook by Jim Trelease. It was not really given to me, but it's part of a book club that I am joining. It's not the Hey Book Lovers book club. It's the To Speak Family book club, because my kids, they are taking, it's not really English classes, but they meet once a week with my friend Mel, and they do all kinds of creative and fun things in English, because Mel is from Australia. And so this is their bilingual group. And now Mel started a book club for the parents. Well, it's the moms. It's meant for the parents, but it's only the moms who participate in this book club. And we are reading this book together, and it's all about the importance of reading aloud to your kids in your native language. But of course, we are reading it with the bilingual perspective, because for most of the kids that are participating in the To Speak English Club, they are all bilingual. German is their native language, and then they, most of them, lived in an English speaking country for a while, so it's their second language. And it's really good. I really like it. I would highly recommend it to new parents. So when you're going to have a baby, or you've just had a baby, and you want to know more about how important it is to read to your baby and to your toddler and to school age children, but also tweens and teens. So that's all in this book. You will get some interesting insights, also some background information, research studies. There's also a chapter on why it is important for the dad to also read aloud to the kids. And it's already in, we are reading the 7th edition at the moment. So it was written before social media and the internet and audiobooks became so popular and so easily accessible. So it's a little bit dated, but that's what basically we do when we meet. We talk about our personal circumstances and also how the world has changed now. So it's easy for a kid to listen to an audiobook in English, because you can just download it on Audible. It's life has gotten easier when it comes to bilingualism. And I haven't finished it yet, so I'm still reading it. But there's also a lot for me in there that I am using for my English coaching sessions. So how important it is to also, read aloud. I've always done that. So I always, especially as a warm-up, for example, I like to read a poem or headlines, or we are reading an article together when I do my English coachings. But here I have the foundation, the scientific backup that that I needed. And so now I know that I'm on the right track and that I should keep doing that. And so it's very helpful for me as a mom, as a parent of my kids are 9 and 12. So my daughter, I'm not reading aloud to her anymore. And now this book changes my opinion. So I don't really know how I will do it, but it gives me new ideas and new perspectives on reading aloud to kids and also to adults, how important it is. And it's a really good read, but it's not, when I compare it to the first book that I talked about, it's more difficult. It's more scientific. It's more academic. There's a lot of research studies and numbers and tables and everything in there, but I still enjoy it a lot. It's not for everyone. I know it's nerdy. It's a nerdy book.
But it's a very interesting topic, because as you said, I don't know how I would approach my 14-year-old son on reading aloud to him, because he doesn't want to have me reading his book to him. That's something he would do on his own. And, how do you find an opportunity to do that and to read aloud to other adults? Hello, my friends. Nice to have you here. I want to read you a story before you start our dinner tonight. I brought something. It would be nice, but very awkward for the others, but might be a good start, inviting friends over for dinner and reading them a story to them. But very unusual, I guess.
Well, talking about your 14-year-old and then also other adults. I mean, there is, of course, the difference. Are you going to do that in German and it's your native language, or do you have this additional level because it's English and it's your non-native language? And of course, there is a benefit of hearing words pronounced and hearing a grammatically correct sentence so that your son or other adults would benefit from that. And then it's not so much with older kids, it's not so much about reading his book aloud to him, but maybe it's reading a paragraph from the book that you are reading, and there's something in there that could be interesting for him. Mm-hmm. So it's more about that. So sharing something that you read with him, or for example, an article, or maybe it's an Instagram post. It's something that you find that is interesting for you and that is also interesting for him. And maybe he gets so curious and wants to know more about it. And then you will read more, or you will give him basically the invitation to read a book that you've read before, and now he wants to read it too. So it's not so much about reading a whole book chapter by chapter together.
So it's the connection, reading aloud to somebody else plus doing it in a non-native language maybe.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the additional level that I have and that we have in this book club, in the family book club. But the book is not about bilingualism.
Okay, it's in general, because when we had our first son, I read an article about how important it is to read to a baby, and I thought, what? They don't even understand a word, and they said it doesn't even. It does. You can read everything. You could read to them a construction manual or a scientific article, as well as a novel you're currently reading. But because it's a lot about your voice, your intonation, and everything that the baby. Just takes everything in that you're giving them and is already learning. Yeah. And I like that idea. And the parents read so very differently. My husband would totally, when he reads a book to the children or text or whatever, he does it in a totally different way than I would do it, because he has a different way of doing voices emphasizing special words or something. Yeah, that makes sense. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, and like I said, especially interesting for new parents or parents with young kids, but also when you have older kids, you also learn a lot and get inspired from the book.
Yeah, and I have to think about our book club mate, Christina. You know, she's a teacher, and she told us that she has third and fourth graders normally, and she we made an episode with her about books for children, I think 6 to 12 years old, and she reads to her pupils nearly every day, I think she said, and she chooses a book, and then they starts reading it to them while they take a break, and they're just listening or doing something creative.
And they love it. Yeah.
It refers to what you said. Yeah.
Yes, it does. Yeah. So yeah, for teachers, it's also a great resource, that book. Okay.
Okay.
What's next?
The next one is an honest one, a very honest one. It's Roxane Gay's book, Hunger. Yeah. It was recommended by our friend Nadia, and it's a memoir. And we recently talked in our book club that American or English native English memoirs are very different to what you would find in Germany. Mm-hmm. And this book is very emotional. Roxane Gay, she's a journalist, and I think she's a professor at the university and teaches writing or something. And she's from the USA, and she writes about food, weight, self-image, learning to feed your hunger without eating, because she talks about her life as being a very overweight person. She's an overweight woman, and she tells her story. She had a very bad experience when she was a teenager with a few young boys who did something very awful to her. And that gave her the feeling that she doesn't want to be visible as a woman, to feel safe. And that's how she started to gain weight. But the book is not only about her very emotional story that she shares, it's also about how overweight women especially are percepted as highly undisciplined, and how they are nearly invisible in society. That when people meet, she described that when people meet her, they only see her an overweight person, but they don't see a woman, they don't see a journalist, a professor, whatever bright and shiny and witty and special person. They only see that, and how everybody has something to share about that, how you can do better, how you can be more disciplined, how you can lose weight easily. Have you tried that? And how this is something that is very deeply in our society, and how she tries to change something about that by writing about it. And while I read the book, it's not an easy read, not because it's hard to read in general. It's just so emotional. And
what do you mean with it's hard to read in general? The language, or
the language topics? Or it doesn't have too long sentences, or hard or in difficult structure to read, that you have to read every sentence twice or something mm-hmm. to understand it, to get it. It's just very emotional, because you feel so deeply, or I felt it, how her family is always helping to fix her somehow.
Oh, okay.
And her parents love her very, very much. You can feel that also, but it's always about how they can give the possibility to exercise more, to find a better routine, to be healthy. And on the other hand, she describes how life can be difficult and as an overweight person, trying to find the right chair in a restaurant or in a meeting room, because everything is designed for very, not small people. Slim people, or slimmer mm-hmm. people.
Slimmer, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a very good read, and you start, it changed my perspective of, and it's not only about people with a lot of overweight, it already starts, we have a very strange perception of when overweight starts in our society. And I started to think about it a lot about how I see it, and how I I felt guilty because of a lot of the things she said. I've thought them already a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a good book if you want to work on yourself and maybe try to change that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I haven't read it, but I've heard a lot about it. She is married to Debbie Millman.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, and Debbie Millman is a very famous longtime podcaster in the US. So this is, I had heard of Roxane Gay before, but when I discovered Debbie Millman and her book and her podcast, then I learned more about them and also Roxane Gay, but I haven't read that book yet, but that's on my list now.
Yeah, I just heard the podcast with Ethan Hawke.
Mm-hmm.
On the podcast is called Design Matters, isn't it?
Design Matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should go there if you haven't listened to it. That's yeah, I'm sending that to our listeners, not to you, Tina, because I know you're listening to the podcast. But I'm a real big Ethan Hawke fan. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, you've recommended his book in one of the previous episodes.
Yeah, books. And I like his movies, and he's writing a lot more at the moment. And I like the interview.
Okay, I haven't listened to
any
it yet.
Any Ethan Hawke fans out there, go for it.
Okay, so, we should also do not only the book list, but then also the podcast yes. episode list.
Yes.
Because that's something, a topic that always comes up in our recordings as well. Okay, good. Then my last nonfiction book. Then I also have one fiction book, but my last nonfiction book is a German one. But the title is in English, so it's easy to talk about it. It's called On the Way to New Work. And this is also, it's a podcast turned into a book. Mm-hmm. So are you familiar with the On the Way to New Work podcast? So it's a new work podcast, and the podcast is produced by Michael Trautmann and Christoph Magnussen. And they've done, I think, over 200 or 300 episodes. They started 5 years ago, and their goal at the beginning when they started the podcast was to write a book. But then they did all the podcast interviews over the years. And yeah, it took some time until they published the book. They also have a co-author in there, Svante Almers. So there's also a woman in there. And basically I think the word is in English is gist, G-I-S-T. So the essence, the main takeaways, the key learnings from those 250, 300 podcast interviews that they did over the years. So what they do in their podcast, in each episode, they have a guest, and this guest has something to do with new work. So they have new ideas, new insights, new practices, new tools, new products that they talk about in the interviews, and they turned all of that into a book. The book is not what I expected. So I thought it would be more storytelling, but it really is. I haven't finished the whole thing, because when I read nonfiction books, I hardly ever read them from front to back, but I start at the beginning and then I pick those topics that I like. So most nonfiction books, you don't have to read the whole thing. And same with this one, you can choose the chapters, the topics that you are mostly interested in. And it really feels like, okay, so this is, let me see, I have to look into the table of contents. So for example, the first chapter is Selbstreflexion, self-reflection. So it's all about which methods, which tools you can use to work on yourself and to look deeper and to do this self-reflection. And then they always refer back to the podcast episode. So if you are really interested in one of the topics, you can go back and listen to that specific episode. But then it's sub-chapters about this method, and this method. And I still wish there would be more storytelling and more personal experiences in there. This is, I think, what is missing. Because when I read a book by an author or a group of authors, I also want their story. I want their perspective. And I know that, of course, those three authors, they haven't tried all methods. They haven't tried all products and tools. That's impossible, but it would be nice to have from time to time, okay, this is what worked for me, or this is what didn't work for me. And this is, I'm a little bit disappointed. It's still a good book. I still get a lot out of it. And it's really nice to have this. It's like a, what do you call that? I cannot even think of the German word, like a compilation, like an anthology of all these podcast episodes. I like that very much because I haven't listened to all of their episodes, and I read much faster than I listen to podcasts, even though I usually listen to podcasts on a higher speed, but I'm a very fast reader. So for me, this is really good just to browse through the podcast archive, so to say. So I think I might talk about this book at a later point again when I've finished it or when I've mainly read most of it. But it's also a great resource, new insights, eye openers.
So I like the podcast very much. They usually invite entrepreneurs or scientists and speak with them about how their approach was or how their story was.
Yes.
And that's what you always have in the podcast, that you learn a lot from the story the person is telling and what failures, what wins there were. And maybe you expected that from the book too.
Yeah. More personal. Maybe it's maybe I just haven't read the right chapters yet. That's why I want to be careful with my judgment or my evaluation of the book. But this is what I'm reading right now. And if you are a fan of the podcast and if you like or if you're interested in the topic of new work, that's definitely the book that you need to have on your bookshelf at the moment.
And there are German and English episodes. Yes. Because I just listened to an episode where they're interviewing a scientist from England, from the US, and she talks about how to give feedback in a new work way, because she says, for a lot of years we did the sandwich feedback, finding something very good about the person, then finally saying what you wanted to say, a sort of criticism that you have to place because something is not working, and ending with, again, a positive feedback, and that this is a very shitty sandwich. And she is quite interesting how feedback can be today and more effective on scientific research level. And so you find something there in English and in German.
Yes. Yeah. So one more book from you.
I'm switching back to Edinburgh. I'm staying in England today mostly. Yes. 1820 in Edinburgh.
Oh, again, another historical
Edinburgh
novel.
Is it Edinburgh?
Edinburgh.
Edinburgh, not Edinburgh. Yeah, Edinburgh. So. And the book is called Anatomy, a Love Story. It's by Dana Schwartz. And the protagonist is Hazel Simmet. She's a young woman. And this relates to Bridgerton. It's nearly the same time. Mm-hmm. She is 17 and her mother wishes for her to go to London for the next season to find a husband, or at least be promised to somebody. She is from a family, I think they're earls or something, or viscounts or something like that. And her cousin is already... somehow they're promised to each other since they were children. So it seems to be a safe bet that they will be ending up together, because they know each other really for a long time. And Hazel is not very interested in spending the season in London, because what she is interested in since she was a child is medicine and everything about medical issues, about the human body, about to cure people, about herbs, about all these sorts of stuff. And her father, who is, he's not present, he's somewhere away. I think he's executing Napoleon's exile or something on an island somewhere. And he has got a very big library, and he always was interested in these things. So she reads and reads and reads and knows a lot about these topics. And she finally finds a pamphlet, a flyer somewhere in Edinburgh, from the Edinburgh Anatomist Society. And they offer a special course where you can become a scientist, a surgeon. And that is the fulfillment of her dreams. But she's a woman in 1820, and the only purpose she has is to get married, have a lot of children, and be a good Viscountess or whatever she will be. So she has to find a way to do this in without being noticed, mm-hmm. and to learn more. So she
in disguise,
yes. Mm-hmm. She decides to get dressed as a man and to get into the university and to take part in this special course by Dr. Beecham. At this time, the learning was already done a lot by dissecting corpuses. And that's where the story is really lovely. And it's a love story because she is not in love with her cousin. So far, I can say there's somebody else coming up who's really charming. And this boy she meets is a resurrection man. I never heard that term before. It was really a job for a young man to go to the graveyard and before that find out who just died and take them out of the graves and sell them to the medical institutes. And they would earn their money by stealing corpses and selling them to medical institutes. And he was a so-called resurrection man. And that's the part where it gets a bit, still has this medical turn, but also a little bit of gothic, you know, that with these corpses and there's something strange going on the graveyard and there has to be something very cruel also going beyond on they find a lot of strange corpuses there. And so there are a lot of secrets also. So it has this two storylines about the one about Hazel being very gifted and wanting to become a surgeon. And the other one with the medical practice using corpses to learn more and not getting enough of them. Yeah. So who?
Interesting.
Yes, I think if you like a good story set back in 1820, and you maybe like a little bit of gothic, mm-hmm. Theme in there, then it's your book. Go for it.
Very interesting choice. Yeah. So many. I mean, they were almost all historical books, not Hunger, but the other ones. Yeah.
And I don't know if I would have read it. You know, I never read the backside of the book, what it's about. When I get a recommendation, I trust the person and I start reading. But I don't know if I would have chosen it if somebody told me about the story. But it's a good story. So let me know, what's your last book, your fictional book?
My fictional book, The Palate Cleanser. Have you heard this term?
No, what is that?
So palate is... what's the German word? I think it has something to do with Geschmack, Gaumen. Mm-hmm. So palate cleanser is something that you eat between different courses of a meal, for example, to clean your palate, your Geschmacks. I don't know how to express that.
Yeah.
But it's also a word that is used, palate cleanser, in the context of books. So something completely different. And since I'm reading so many nonfiction books at the moment, from time to time, I need a palate cleanser. So something completely different. But that was a while ago. So I've only been reading nonfiction recently. So a while ago, I read The Garden of Small Beginnings by Abby Waxman. Have you heard of that?
I think I've heard of it.
Yeah, and it's also a love story, and it's a nice book. It's the protagonist is called Lillian. Lillian is a mom of two little girls, and she lost her husband in a car accident. And you learn that in the first two or three sentences. And she's also an illustrator, and she is hired to illustrate a gardening book. And in order to prepare herself for this new project, she's taking gardening classes with her kids and also her sister, Rachel. And she's not really interested in gardening. Her backyard doesn't look like it could be turned into a garden. But since she's working on this project now, she needs to know more about that. And of course, the person who is facilitating the workshop, the gardening workshop, his name is Edward. He is from England, I think, and he is very good looking and he is really nice. And you know the story, but it takes a while until those two. I think in the end, if I remember correctly, you don't really know whether they will end up together or not, but she still has feelings for her husband, of course, but it's been a couple of years, and everyone around her thinks that she should move on and it would be okay for her to date again. And even her kids say that, but she's not ready yet. So it's a lot about grief and loss and when is the right time to move on. And then it's also a lot about gardening. So you learn something about gardening in there. She, in the end, she turns her backyard into a lovely garden, and she loves spending time there. And there are also illustrations in the book, which I really like. So it's about an illustrator, and then you have those gardening and flower and plant illustration, and it's just a very nice and easy read, especially when you read something very heavy before. This is a good distractor. So very good.
Sounds perfect.
Okay, so we could talk about the book we are reading right now, but when I look at the time, and
it's already a long episode.
It's already a long episode, so we will skip that topic and say goodbye, right?
Yes, thank you for listening in. Next time we'll be back in German. If you have any book recommendations for us, please let us know.
Yes, also podcast recommendations.
And we take those too. Or TV series.
Yes, or movies.
Yeah. Everything. Let us know.
Let us
contact
know.
Us.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.